Praise God. It is Father's Day, a day that's set apart to recognize your dad. But I don't know about y'all, but most of us had dads that had problems. Amen. We all have problems, right? But we have one Father that never fails. We have one Father that has loved you above all else love, and He has given you grace and mercy. We're going to talk about Him today. Amen. Just to let you know that our God is a God of restoration. Who here as a dad has failed? I'll hold up both my hands. We're going to get into some of my testimonies, some of the things where I have come short, but where God has fulfilled those places and replaced it with grace and goodness in my personal life. What brought me to this morning was Joel chapter 2, verse 25, and I'll just share this real quick scripture with you. Then we'll get back into it as we get into the furtherance into the Word of God today. And it says in Joel chapter 2, verse 25, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm." Amen. "A great army which I sent among you." What I took from this in this very first scripture that I wanted to get out in the beginning is that I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten. I don't know about y'all, but in my life, I've had a lot of worms. Amen. I've had a lot of locusts in my life. I've had a lot of things ruined or messed up because of things that I allowed into my life, right? I was not a good father, right? And I'll get into that here in just a moment. But today, as we do recognize fathers, let's go to the Lord in prayer even before I get started in this. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I pray, Father, that even at this moment that you are working on restoration, Father, that you're going to touch men's hearts, families' hearts today, and that they would hear of your great love, your hope, or our hope that we have in you. Father, I pray that you would give us that opportunity of getting back, Father, coming to that place of rebirth, of new expectations, Father, and a hope, Lord, that is not gone, but is held tightly in your grip. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen. As I've said a couple times, today is Father's Day. And for those fathers who have hung in there and they fought the good fight and they are working the duty of being a dad, I want to first say well done to you. Amen. You dads that are in there and you're fighting, you've stayed with it, you haven't abandoned your post. You've been the watchtower, the man on the watchtower, and you've looked out over your family and you've protected them the best you can. Although you may have come short in some areas, you're still there fighting the fight. Praise God for you, and don't quit. Don't quit. Never give it up, because the fight that men need to fight today, the things that family needs to see today, is the men standing where they're supposed to stand, in love with God, in love with their wife, and giving their life for their children. Amen. And so I'm thanking God for those men who do that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Cliff. Thank you, Joshua. And thank you, Steve. Amen. Although you're the very beginning of that. Thank you for that. You know, I have faith that you're going to see it through to the end. Amen. And so so thank you for you men that see the fight and continue in it. But for the rest of us, and I'm in that category as the rest of us, we have not been the best that we could be. You know, things have gotten in our way. Things have gotten in our life, sin mostly. And we gave up the good fight. The rest of us who have not been those good dads who quit the fight, just gave up for whatever reason. And the reason I brought this to our attention to begin with in this sermon is divorce is rampant in America. There are so many homes in America that don't have fathers. They don't have that headship in their house. And the American structure of the family is falling apart. Or maybe you even might have a dad in that structure, but he's not standing the ground as the head of the house. He's not leading in love. He's not leading in compassion. He's not leading in prayer. And that thing is missing in the body of Christ. That thing is missing in your house. Well, let me tell you, it's not too late, because God is a God of restoration. If it's not happening today, we'll pray for tomorrow. Amen. I want to tell you a little bit about my shortcomings, my sin that has caused pain and problems in my personal life, because I think I can speak from this from the side of a fellow who was not a good father, all right? I really wasn't. I sold short my children, all right? And I carry that scar, And there's nothing I can do about it. That's water under the bridge. I mean, I can love them now, but praise God, He is a God of restoration, right? And so I'm going to tell you some things about me that I'm not real proud of, but it's part of my past before I knew Christ. Personally, I was a drunkard. I was a drug user. I was angry most of the time. When my boys, Seth and Jake, were small, they didn't have a godly head of their household. What they saw was a man who was pretty much self-centered. They saw a guy who would just do what he thought was right and didn't really care about anybody else's feelings. And it scarred them, okay? And I can't put the blame on nothing but me. It's not the way I was raised. It's the way I handled life, amen? It's because I didn't know of a Savior that really cared for me. And so, anyhow, that's who I was, but God, amen? My two favorite words in the whole Bible. See, throughout my children's childhood, I was an absentee father, all right? Because of my zealousness for work and my desire for other things outside of the family, it caused separation between me and my wife. It caused a divorce. Like I said, these are things I'm not real proud of, but they're things that are there. You know, there are things that we deal with as men. And because of that divorce, I left my boys and I moved from Alabama to Louisiana, which really restricted my time that I got to see them. I didn't get to hold their hand. I didn't get to cry with them the way I needed to. I didn't get to be the man that they needed in their life, that they could have a representation of what manhood looks like. I fell short. And because of what I did, they're having difficulties in their life because they didn't have any human to look to. They know about God, but they really don't know God in their heart. But I, praise God, I was there at one time, but God, right? Restoration, but God. I'm sure that some of you have experienced failures as you're a father. Even if you stayed married to your wife and you've raised your kids the best that you can, how many of y'all that have been married forever have made mistakes? Amen. All of us have. You know, all of us have. But don't let your past dictate your future. We have a great hope in Jesus Christ if we'll come back to Him as men. There's a healing within the Lord that we need to look for in this day and time. If I had not met Jesus, the one true Father in my life, the one Father who never quits, I would be still a scumbag on the side of the road somewhere. I wish I had another word for it, but I would be less than the least. I would be still self-absorbed, probably drowned in a bottle somewhere again, but God, the God of restoration, and He's still there looking for us. God has written on our stony hearts. We have decisions and choices that need to be made every day, roads and directions that will either lead us and our families closer to Christ or divide us and lead us further away down the pathways of pain and destruction. But praise God, in the book of Joel that I was reading this week, I saw some great promises in that, and one of which I've already touched on just a little bit. And I will restore you the years which the locusts have eaten. Oh, I love that because I got years of scars. I got a lot of hurt back there that I've caused. But God says, I will restore what the locusts have taken. I will give you back the corn. I'll give you the earlier and the latter rains. I'll give it to you if you'll just come to me. If you'll come to me, confess your sin openly, desire me with the whole of your heart. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Joel, and we'll start reading in verse 18 and work our way down through, and then we'll come back and discuss it a little bit. Here, remember, Joel is speaking to a nation, right? He's speaking to a nation, not to individuals. I don't want you to think that I've taken the context out of this off because Joel is talking about a nation. But I found some truths in here, and the beautiful thing about it, the truths of God do not change, whether he's talking about a nation or he's talking about an individual. I took these, as I was reading it, the Lord spoke to me, not in verbal words, but He moved on my heart, and He pointed out, Curtis, this is who you were, this is what I did, this is where you'll end up. Amen. And so, and he did that with Israel, and he'll do that with you. And it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman here today, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we still have that promise that God will restore where the locusts have eaten. Amen. And so as we get into the Word of God today, pray for me as I pray for you. Then the Lord, be jealous of his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. I will remove far from you the northern army, and I will drive him into the land barren and desolate, and his face toward the east sea, and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his shank shall come up, and his ill savor shall come up, because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, ye beast of the field, and the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice your Lord God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat a plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen? Amen. You look at that. I'm going to read one more verse because it's right there at the end of it. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. Amen. Did you see the promises in that? Now, he's talking to a people. He's talking to Israel. But any of us who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is all of us, have experienced that same problem. Amen? You've experienced what God has first and is best for you, but because of your rebellion, your sin, he wasn't allowed to give it to you. But these people here, they came to the place of repentance. They came to the place and they were crying out to the Lord saying, Lord God, forgive us. And God says, if you'll do that, watch what I'm going to do for you. Watch what I will replenish what you have wasted away. And I tell you, folks, I have years, wasted days and wasted nights. Amen. But I have a God who has forgiven me of that. All of that is put behind me. And now I'm in the latter rains of my life. Amen. I've experienced salvation at the early part, the reigns of salvation, how the goodness and the grace of God was made alive to me in my mind. I lived through that and I enjoyed the increase of my crop. Praise God, that's you guys. That's everybody that I've ever shared the gospel with, whether they accepted it or not. That is the corn, that is the wheat, that is the graciousness of God that we've been able to share with other people. Right? And God wants us to do that. So when we come to Jesus Christ and we open our heart to him, we open our mind to him, God will use you and he will bless you in ways you cannot understand. He will restore to you what you had messed up. Amen. There were years that me and my sons didn't talk, you know, because of me. I mean, I can't say that. This year, first year, my youngest son actually recognized that I was his father. And it's better than what you can imagine. It really is. That God will take what you ruined, what you messed up, and he will come and he will just bless you. He will give you so much that you just cannot contain it. I am so grateful for this scripture in my life because God has done a great thing. Amen. And if you remain faithful to him, although you have messed up in the past, you remain faithful to God. And God will, he will fix that mess. Amen. Because it was a mess what I left my boys with. But God intervened and he is doing a great work. Amen. And so I want you to know that He is there. And it says in these verses, as we look at it, and starting like verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord will be jealous for His land." That word "then," it's a very important word, and what it means when we follow the advice of our Heavenly Father. When that happens, I like it. You got to pay attention to those little words in the Bible. It says when. So when you decide to do the right thing over and over and over and over again, when you decide to do His will and not your own will over and over and over and over again, when you decide to die to yourself, to crucify your flesh, when you decide to give everything that God has given to you back to Him, when you do that, then God will move. And He's already moving in your heart, making a desire for you to do that in the first place. But when you finally die to yourself, amen, when you finally give up and say, "God, I cannot do this for one more minute," God says, "Praise, good for you. You could never do it to start with. But now that you've decided to give it up, when you've decided to give it all to me, watch what God can do." He says, "Watch what I can do. Yeah, you messed it up, Curtis. You left a desert wasteland behind you, but I'm going to make flowers grow. You know, I'm going to send the rain. I'm going to put the seed there. I'm going to do something that you cannot do. You will not be able to imagine or contain what I have for you long as you wait for the when." Amen. I struggled for years because I wanted the when to be on my time. Amen. But when I finally gave it over to Jesus Christ and I didn't worry about it a lot, when finally came. Amen. When finally came. And so when we follow the advice of our Heavenly Father, then the Lord will be jealous. He will rejoice. God will show His great love, His agape, His zeal, His eagerness to heal and return to the land. You know, so the eagerness to return, He'll be jealous. He wants to give you the very best He has. Do you know that? That God wants you to have the extreme best that He has for you. He says, "I got blessings for you that you cannot even imagine." The only thing that's stopping you and that from happening, chances are, is us. Amen. It's because I want it my way, baby. I want it and I want it now. God says, "No, you got to die to yourself and live for me. And when you start living for me, all of a sudden these things are going to come in line. These things are going to start working in your life. You won't be able to explain it. You won't be able to do it. You just have to relax, allow me to do that work, and then it will come to you." God says, "I will repair, I will replace, I will take care of what the sin in your life had done before if you just repent and come to me. I will be jealous over you." I love that God's jealousy is not like jealousy like we experience. God's jealousy is He's jealous because I got something for you, but because of you, I can't give it to you. You know, I'm jealous. I want you to have this so bad. Have you ever wanted to give something to your kids so bad, but they wouldn't take it? Yeah, you know, they wouldn't get into the place of obedience to receive it. I heard about this story about a father who had he had this car, this Mustang or something that he really, really loved. And his son said, "Boy, Dad, when you die, I want that car. I want that car." Dad never said he'd give it to him. The boy was a rascal. You know, he was just doing his thing. But the boy always wanted that car. And so, but the daddy is a Christian. He kept giving him a Bible, or he'd give him a tract, he'd give him a word. Well, when the dad finally passed away, the only thing that the father left the child was his Bible. It was his personal Bible. Any of y'all got a personal Bible? I plan on leaving my personal Bible to my son. I don't know how they're going to divide it. But anyhow, I'll try to get another one. No, I got plenty of them. But anyhow, I have one Bible in my house that is just, it was the one that I was born again with, right? And that's a deep Bible for me. Well, that's probably the one I'm going to give to my son, right? Because it meant a lot to me, and I hope that he likes it. Anyhow, this father gave the boy his Bible, and he put the car in a shed somewhere, locked it up. Now, the boy got angry because he didn't get the car that he wanted, you know. "Well, Dad's gone. I don't know where the car is anymore. Brr, I hate you to ever and back." And so years go by. The boy still held on to the Bible, but he never opened it up. He never looked into it. He never unfolded the pages, not one time, to look to see what was on the inside. Well, years later, the boy heard about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he got saved. He said, "Where's that Bible of my daddy's? I got to find that Bible." Went through the boxes and stuff, and he finally dug out his dad's Bible, and when he opened it up, guess what was on the center page? It was the key to the car. He could have had that car all of those years. He could have had the very best blessing he ever wanted. He could have had it the whole time. But because of his own rebellion, the gift of the Father wasn't available to the Son. God has gifts for you. He has gifts for me. He has gifts for all of us. But we got to humble ourselves enough to accept whatever package it comes in. Amen? And so the boy didn't understand it, but the father knew what he was doing. This is how here in Joel, God is... Oh, I've already talked to you about that. So I hate it when I got notes and I go back over them twice. Anyhow, but God is powerful. Okay, Lord. I have a lot of stuff written here. I have 15 minutes. So, anyhow. God is powerful. He loves us. Our Father in heaven, He is willing and He is able to bless us beyond what we can understand. And verse 19, so I'm going to move a whole verse down. And verse 19, "Yea, the Lord will answer, and He say to His people, Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith, and I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen." Restoration. God says, when you get your heart right with Him, when you get right with God, when you fully surrender to what He's called you to, He says, "I'm going to do some things for you. I'm going to give you a blessing. I'm going to give you corn. I'm going to give you wine. I'm going to give you oil. I'm going to give you the things necessity, the necessities of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness," right? "And all of these things I will add to you." And you look at what that was, food, clothing, shelter. But along with that food, clothing, shelter, what else did Jesus promise us? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He promised us the fruits of the Spirit. He promised us the holiness of God. If we would only walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, if we would only cling to the hem of His garment, He would heal us, right? Those are promises that Jesus gave us. These are promises that God gives us. If we would only come to Him, He will give us the corn. He will answer our prayers. He will be everything that we need. Oh, when we that have fallen and have failed repent and come back to our Heavenly Father, He knows how to satisfy you. Amen? Rhea, who is that singing that song, "I Can't Get No Satisfaction"? That's because he didn't know Jesus Christ. Because when you know Jesus Christ, you can get satisfaction, amen? You can get the fullness of life. You can get the blessings, unbelievable blessings from God. But you got to want it bad enough to go for it. You got to want it bad enough to open up that Bible that you might hate. You got to want it bad enough to open it up and not just read it, but to apply it in your life. Like that young man who got the thing that he did not want from his father, which was the Word of God. But inside of the Word of God was everything that he ever wanted from his father. Right? So God is saying, if we would only apply those things to our life, if we would only repent from our selfishness, then He would send the corn, He would send the wine, He would send the oil. Our Father said unto His people, those of His covenant, that if you would repent, if you would, He will reform you. He will give you back. He will help you to regain. He will help you to replenish all of the things. And then when you get the things that God has prepared your heart for, He says, you're going to be satisfied. Amen. Do you want to be satisfied? I want satisfaction. I really do. I want to be everything that I desire in Christ. I want that. Okay? And when I get it, I'll be absolutely satisfied. But what is that? I want, as a pastor, okay, what I really want is the people of God to walk with God. That is my heart's cry. More than anything else, I mean, praise God, I'm getting back in better relationships with my son. That's really cool. But I want the body of Christ, not this church, but I want everybody who calls himself a Christian, everybody who's experienced the cleansing power of Jesus Christ through His blood, through His resurrection, through His sacrifice, everybody who calls himself of Christ, if they would fully surrender to God, well, it'd be heaven. It'd be heaven. That's what it'd be like. It would be living in the presence. Oh, what God would do for people, a people group that would come to him and say, not my will, but your will be done. I'll do it just because you've done such a great deal for me. I will surrender my life to your life. I will do the things that you have called me to. Amen. Oh, that would be a great day. Amen. And so, when we get to that part, God, he will be, you'll be satisfied in him, and you will no more be made a reproach. Boy, I tell you, have you ever experienced that, being a reproach to somebody? Because there's a long time my kids, I was a reproach to them. They did not like me. Amen? And it was because of what I did. It was cause and effect, right? But every time I was around them, you could see there's this tension. There's this thing that was in the room, the elephant in the room that nobody would talk about. It was me. It was what I caused in their life. It was the hurt that I put there. But there comes a time when that can be talked about. It comes a time when that comes to a head and you're able to get it out. There comes a time to speak about forgiveness of your children, of your people, fathers. There comes a time where we need to humble ourselves with a broken and a contrite heart. Comes a time, dads, when you ain't got to be right. You just need to be righteous. You know, you don't have to be right. Oh, I'm daddy, I'm always right. No, yeah, probably not. You know, chances are we're filled with pride because we're guys. You know, God says, hey, if you'll turn to me, I will take that heart of stone and I'll replace it with a heart of flesh. I'll take that hardness that you have and I will remold it and I'll remake it. And where the canker worm has destroyed your past, I will give you corn, oil, and wine for your future. All it takes is one step. Remember, it tells us in James, if I draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to me. And I like that because I can take a pretty big step. I can probably step 3 feet, 6 inches, maybe 4 foot in a stride if I step really big. But God, he's really, really bigger than I am, a lot. I mean, so much that he holds like all the waters of the world in the palm of his hand. When he spans his hands, that's all of the universe. He's a big God. And when he draws near to me, he covers a lot more ground. Amen. He meets me in the middle of my goo and repairs me and replenishes me when I come to him with a broken and a contrite heart. Oh, when I come to that place, it tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 that there is no more condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Catch those last two parts that is put there. You are no longer, when you come to Jesus Christ, you've been forgiven and he's repairing your life, you are no longer under the condemnation of your past. You're no longer under the pressure, the weight of your last sin, as long as you walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Those are two very important parts of that scripture right there. I want the full blessings of the Lord. So what does God expect to me? What does he want in my life? He wants me to walk after the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 again. If you walk after the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. See, the lust of the flesh is what ruined my family. The lust of the flesh is what hurt my kids. My way, not Yahweh. Amen? That's what hurt everybody, right? But God says, now I am no longer condemned because of that, because I'm no longer walking after my own flesh. I'm walking after the Spirit of God. I'm walking after him. I'm seeking his will and not my will anymore. And God says, now that you're seeking my will and not your will, guess what I'm doing for you? I'm going to give you corn out of dry land. Amen. I'm going to give you water from the rock. I'm going to make something alive that was dead in you. I'm going to love you and I'm going to repair those things that you messed up because you are seeking my will, my face, my grace. See, and no longer is it my will that needs to be done. It's his will that must be done. It's him doing the work, not me doing the work. He is in the process of repairing broken hearts. So, fathers, what do you do? What do you do? We're going to skip back to Joel real quick, and I'm going to miss some verses here, but we've already read through them, and I pray that you would. verses 20 through 25. It's a pretty good hunk of scripture here. but we've already read it one time. But I will remove far off from the northern army, and I will drive him into a land barren and desolate. See, when you come to Jesus Christ confessing your sin, he takes the old you and he drives you off. That army that was that army of the, your will and not his will, your army, yourself, God says, I'm going to take that and I'm going to drive it off of you. You know, I like that in my life, that I am no longer who I used to be. God took the nasty, rotten, disgusting piece of garbage on the side of the road that was named Curtis Fitz. Amen? He took that and he says, I found value and worth in that and I'll bring you out of it. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. I didn't get better to get to Christ. Y'all have heard me say that. I got to Christ and he made me better. Amen. He restored me. He replenished me. He gave me strength where I had no strength. He gave me a mind and a heart to love. He gave me feet to go and to talk. He gave me hands that are skilled in war. Amen. Now, I'm not skilled in beating people up, but I'm skilled in war, pulling down the strongholds and the imaginations. Amen. The places where evil lives, I have power through Jesus Christ to tear that down now. Through prayer, through study. No, study to show yourself approved unto God. Amen. I don't study to show myself approved unto you guys. I ain't got to impress you. I really don't, and because it doesn't really concern me too much about what you think about me. All right, it really doesn't. It concerns me a lot about what you think about God. Okay, but I'm we've said it before, an animated dirtball, just like you are. We were made from the dust of the ground, and God breathed his spirit into us. We became living beings, right? Living souls. So I'm not, it doesn't bother me if you like me or if you don't like me. All right? Now, I want to be liked by you, but it's not really going to affect me one way or the other because I'm seeking Jesus Christ. And see, it shouldn't really bother you too much if anybody likes you or doesn't like you. You need to be pleasing God. And if you're pleasing to God, it's okay if people don't like you, long as you're pleasing to God, right? Because who are you here to impress? Don't impress me. It says, study the word of God to show yourself approved. I need to show myself approved to Mike. I'm going to study the word of God. I'm going to memorize some scripture. When we're together, I'm going to impress the socks off of him. Big deal. So what? Satan knows the Bible better than I do, right? He really does. But God. See, I need to study to show myself approved to God. And when I study to show myself approved to God, God replaces that with blessings and a righteousness that I cannot contain. Amen. He gives me more than what my shed can hold. He gives me more love, more grace, more power, more mercy. But see, I don't study to show myself approved to man. I study to show myself approved to God. See, fathers, if we would only study to show ourselves approved to God, that concept would grow in our lives and it would produce things. It would produce healing in our family. See, if I really want to show produce healing in my family, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Amen? Bring up your children in the way that they should go, right? So when they're old, they wouldn't depart. See, do you see what he's saying there? Now, some of you moms are sitting out there and say, well, I don't have a husband who does any of that kind of stuff. Well, don't worry about your husband doing it. You do it. Amen? You do it. Because some of y'all don't. You have husbands that don't want to know Jesus Christ, don't want to walk with Jesus. All right? That's not your fault. God doesn't say live righteously and make your husband, I'm going to stick him a track in every lunch pail. No, you don't do that. You walk righteously and he'll see the good work in you and he'll cause a desire sooner or later in your husband's life. And if not, that's not your fault. You're not held accountable to that. You women, I know it's Father's Day, but you women, if you don't have a man that's following the Lord, that's okay. You follow God. You study to show yourself approved unto the Lord. Amen. You do the things that God has called you to, and you become every bit of a powerhouse of prayer that any man could ever be. Amen. You know, so I was thinking about it. And I said, well, there's some ladies that may not have a husband that even wants to walk with God. That's okay. Don't worry about what your husband wants or what he doesn't want. You walk with the Lord. These promises, they're not just for dads, amen? They're not just for countries, they're for individuals. if you will study, if you will show yourself, if you will repent from your sin, ladies, and you come and you fully give your heart and your life to Jesus Christ, He will repair in your life the stuff that you ruined from past. How many ladies out there got goo in their life? Amen? Amen. We all do, right? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But if we will repent, if we will come to the Lord with a broken and a contrite heart, guess what? He will repair where the canker worm ate it up. He will repair, and He'll give the early rain, He'll give the latter rain in your life. He'll meet you where you are, and you will become a fruitful vine as you remain in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's all that God's calling us to. Men, if you're here and you're a father of a home, your granddad, you know, and you're not walking right, you haven't really surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, well, today's your chance. Right now, if you're not totally given over to Jesus Christ, stop what you're doing. Make things right with God in your heart, in your mind. Pick up your Bible. Amen? Just look at the promises that are in here. Look at the blessings that are in the Word of God. And the only thing that's stopping from you, standing between you and the blessings of God, is your self-righteousness, is your pride. It's you stopping it, ladies. The same thing. God really doesn't care if you're a guy or a girl. He doesn't. He wants you to be a saint. Amen? He wants you to be holy, set apart, sanctified for His good work. He wants to do in you and in your families more than what you can do for yourself. Often in life, we allow our failures of past lives, and I did this most of my life. I couldn't become everything I wanted to become because of what happened way back then. You know what Paul said about that? He's talking to the brethren in Philippi, and he says, "Brethren, I count not myself as apprehended, as to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before me, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Amen? Man, if I could tell you sob stories about being brought up as a heathen, you know, I could tell you all that kind of stuff. But what happened back there doesn't dictate what God can do to me in the future. I could tell you the thing about my life and how I messed up as in my marriage and how I did things wrong, right? I could tell you that, but don't get hung up back there. Any dead fish can go downstream, right? It doesn't take any effort not to do what you're called to do. But Paul says, those things which are behind me, and Paul had a whole lot of bad stuff behind him, right? He persecuted the church. He gave women and children over to the authorities to have them arrested. Right? He did some things in his life. He says, I don't look at those things back there. Yeah, they're bad. I don't look at that. I'm pressing for the high calling of Christ. I'm moving forward with God, not looking backward at my mistake. Because all of us have mistakes. And if we worry about what happened back then, you'll never achieve what God has for you in the future. You got to get rid of what the cankerworm ate up, right? You got to get that out of your life. And you got to start looking for the rain that's still to come. You got to start looking for tomorrow's crop. You got to start looking for the blessings of God that are coming at you. And oh, how God wants to give them to you. Oh, how God wants to open up heaven and pour on you a blessing you cannot contain. He wants to do that. And all you got to do is surrender. Even as Jesus did in the garden. Not my will be done, but thine. Not the will of Curtis Fitz. Not the will of Cliff. He's got a big one. No. Not the will. It's not your will, Joshua. It's not your will, Steve. It's not my way that gets it. As I've said, it's not our way, it's Yahweh. We need to be looking to Jesus. We need to be looking to the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to be looking to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We need to be looking not just to the cross, but to the resurrection. Amen. At the cross you begin. At the resurrection you find the promise. Press for the high call of Christ. Don't quit now. And don't get hung up in your past. Because our God is not a God of the dead. He's a God of the living. Amen? He's a God of hope. He's a God of promise. He's a God of resurrection and restoration. So if you need to be restored today, talk to God. Be honest with Him. Don't hold back. Don't hold back anything from Him. Confess it. Get it out. Get the garbage out. God already knows where your garbage is hid in your life, right? There's nothing in your life that's hid from God. He knows tomorrow from yesterday. He knows everything that's ever going to happen to you. And all He wants His body, His church to do is to be of a broken and a contrite heart, desiring the forgiveness and the restoration of the Father. Thank you. God's willing, He's able. I wrote this morning. God's willing and He's able, but are you? He's willing and He's able to forgive you. Are you willing and able to give it up? I know you're able, but are you willing? See, you gotta want to die to it. Holiness is available, but you gotta work at holiness, because my flesh wants what my flesh wants. Amen. Fathers, it's high time for us to step up and be what God has called us to be. He called us to be fathers, dads, leaders, lovers, heads of our homes. It's time for fathers to become not just rulers, but loving, compassionate, heartfelt examples of Christ in your home. Amen? I can talk to you about it all day, but you've got to do it. I can't take, there's a song by Casting Crowns, Between the Altar and the Door. Right now, I sense that a lot of people are agreeing with it. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, man, I want some of that in my life. And right now, while you're in this time, in this space, you're agreeing. But something's going to happen between here and your car. I don't know. It's a supernatural, evil thing. Happens to us all. Boy, I held onto the altar at right there in front, and I gave my heart. I gave my life. But then by the time I get out the door, I've forgotten everything I gave up. I picked it up. I brought it to the cross. I gave it. I crucified. I gave it to Christ. But here, that's mine. You know, I'm going to walk off with it. It belongs to me, really. See, that we can't do that. When we give it up, give it up. It's an honesty. It's an openness. It's a willingness to die to yourself that God might live through you. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Father, I thank You so much for the Word of God. I thank You so much for the great love in which You have loved us. I ask even now, Lord God, that You would move mighty, Father, that this word that was heard today would not just be tickling to our ears, but it would change our hearts and our lives in a real and personal way. Lord, we love You, we praise You, and we ask those things in Jesus' name. Amen.